and just tell him to trust him. And if you don't trust him, just say, Lord, I'm having a hard time. Trust, help me to trust you. Help me to look to you. Because I really believe he wants us to be an example of what it means to just be at peace. And he gives us that. And so even if you're up buying toilet paper, you can be at peace. And I heard a couple people talking, my wife was saying, like, when you need toilet paper, you almost feel awkward because you're like, you don't want people to think you're in there panicking buying toilet paper. You actually need toilet paper, right? And so, anyway, just don't get into all the like, crazy thoughts that go on. I believe we can be an example. And not an example of someone who's critical and judgmental towards others, but just we can walk in peace and we can be an encouragement to those around us. God's really good.
Amen.
And all the time,
God is good.
So I want to give things a little bit. I want to give a challenge today. I have these cards at the front, and today I wasn't like I'm not preaching what I'm preaching because of the things that are going on. We're working through the New Testament together as a church. Okay, if you're new here, we have some guides in the back. We're actually reading 5 chapters a week, every week as a church community. And every week we're going to be preaching from the chapters that were just read. And so the guide is on the table back there. If you want to follow along, you could be reading beforehand, and then we'll be preaching from something from one of those chapters. So I wasn't planning to preach this because of the Bible didn't come up. This was like in the text, and this is what God has put on my heart. And I really, today, want to focus on breakthrough. So last week I asked the question, like, is there anybody here that you're believing God for some sort of breakthrough? Everybody else out there is going to fall off the stage. I asked the question, is there anybody that's like believing God for breakthrough? And I saw a lot of people nod last week. And I even saw people with their hands up. And so we're going to be looking at a story in Luke chapter 8 about a woman who broke through the crowd to touch Jesus' robe, and she got this healing. And I want to, and this is a challenge, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to give an opportunity. The worship band's going to come up, and we're going to play 3 songs to close. And I'm going to ask, if God is speaking to you about something specific in your life that you've got to just begin praying in faith for, I'm going to ask you to take a step and just come up and write it down. And that's going to be just an opportunity, like this woman, to just say, okay, I'm going to take an actual physical step towards Jesus. And so, as we're talking, I just want to encourage you to, like, just listen. If the Lord's speaking to your heart and he's going to bring something up that he wants you to be praying about or seeking him for, there's going to be an opportunity to do that. And I really believe he's going to challenge us. And just so you know, this sermon this week, I actually feel like I probably should listen to it more than be preaching it, okay? It's been a challenge for me. There's some situations that I'm facing, and it's really easy to give in to doubt. It's easy to give in to anxiety or fear. It's easy sometimes to give up on people maybe you've been praying for or believing for. And so I just want you to know that that's something that I relate with. And when I go to the scriptures and I read this, I'm like, man, God is calling me to something deeper. He's actually calling me to trust. And so this is something that I feel like God is speaking this to me personally. And so as a community, I want us to be able to hear this together. So I'm just going to pray that as we work through this passage, that the Lord will speak to you. And I'm believing God for some breakthroughs. I'm believing that we're going to hear testimonies of answered prayer as we call it to him. So let's just pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you for how, Lord, your word was written 2,000 years ago. Some of it was written 4,000 years ago. But Lord, it applies to today because you've been dealing with humans ever since you created us. And the issues we face are the same then as they are today. Back when these words were written, people struggled with fear, they struggled with anxiety, they were afraid of what people thought of them. Today, we struggle with fear, with anxiety, what people think of us. We have illnesses that we have unanswered questions about today, just like they did in those days. And God, you're the same today as you were then. And so I just pray that we would hear your voice, Lord, that it would speak specifically into our situations. We don't go to your word just to be smart about history. We go to your word because we want to hear your voice, we want to connect with you. And so we just welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to speak. We love you. You're awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I read the passage, so it's going to be Luke chapter 8, we're starting with verse 43. But a couple weeks ago, I was in Florida. I mentioned that last week, I think. And I was really blessed. I was I got to fly to Orlando to be part of this church multiplication conference. And it was incredible. And there was over 5,000 people. And I felt really blessed to be there. I wouldn't have been able to afford the trip, but somebody offered to pay so I could go. And the whole thing was about, like, basically it was like, how do you take what God's doing in your life and share it to the world? Like, the conference basically was dealing with the reality that there's a whole lot of people in this world that don't know Jesus, and some of us do. So how do we change that? Like, how do we tell others about Jesus? How do we plant more churches? How do we see our friends come to know Christ? Like, that was kind of the whole thing. And there's all these breakout sessions. And I went to this, it was really cool. And sometimes you know what a fangirl is? You know what a fangirl is? A fangirl is like when she sees her favorite artist and like her musician and he's up on stage, she's freaking out, just wants to touch his hand, and she's like so excited to be around him, okay? I felt a little bit like a fangirl because there was an author that I had just read one of his books, and I'm looking down through the list of breakout sessions, and he was going to be speaking, doing this breakout session in a smaller room than this, and I was like, I'm going to be able to beat this guy. Like, I was really impacted by it. And he's written a couple books, and his books are really, really good. They're about church multiplication and how to, like, take God's message to the world. Anyway, so I was sitting in this session, and I just wanted to hear what he had to say. And there was a guy sitting in the, like, row next to me who was just, like, full of the Spirit. Like, he just had this hunger for God, and it was spilling out over him. Like, he couldn't contain it, right? So this guy was giving his lecture. He's a really, you know, well-educated guy, and he had, like, a whole plan of things he was going to go through. But all he did was he said, this guy I was listening to, he said, I've seen God answer prayer in miraculous ways. And the guy that I was talking with was like over, he was sitting in the session with me. He's like sitting in his chair and he jumps up, he's like what? Like, what do you mean, man? Like, I want to hear some of these answered prayers. And I was like, this is awkward. Like, this guy's like, come on. And so then the guy that was speaking, he told a story. And it was really cool of how God, you know, did something miraculous and he saw God move in a powerful way. And then he mentioned that he'd seen much more. And this other guy was like, come on, man, we need this. We need to hear about how God's moving today. Like, share it with us. And he just kept pushing. And so then this speaker, again, he shared another story. He went a completely different direction than what he was planning. And like I said, he's like a pretty, you could tell he was a very prepared guy. He's a professor at a seminary, and he was very prepared. But he just sensed in the room, like, God was doing something. So he's like, oh, he responded to it. And then afterwards, we ended up having this, like, really neat prayer time. This, like, really bubbly, excited guy ended up praying over me. It was just this really cool moment. But that guy, he was willing to just verbally out loud, he was willing to, like, kind of rock the boat a little bit. He was like, I want to see God move in power. And what we're going to look at this story of a woman who breaks through the crowd because she just wants to touch Jesus. And she knows if she can touch Jesus, that she'll be healed. And I think there's a lot we can learn from the woman in this story about approaching Jesus. And so it'll be up on the screen. It's going to be Luke chapter 8, verse 43-48. It says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. I'm going to read the last few verses, but isn't that interesting? Like, Jesus didn't even know that he had healed this person. The reason she was healed was because she reached out in faith, knowing that if she just touched Jesus, that she would be healed. If she could just get close to Jesus, she would be healed. So Jesus, I don't think he's faking it here. I don't think he's like, I know who it is, but I'm going to pretend I don't. Like, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. He had a human brain that didn't know everything in the same way God knows it. He chose to be fully human. He couldn't be everywhere at once. He didn't know everything there is to know. And so he really authentically was looking around, like, he felt this woman's faith. Like, when she touched him, it was like his body felt her faith, which is powerful. And as we're reading this, just ask yourself, like, do you reach out to Jesus with that kind of faith? Like, is that the way we approach him? With the kind of faith that he would physically feel it? Then the woman realized that she could not stay hidden. She began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And I love Jesus' response. He says, Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And so I'm going to put, there's three things, and this is, I'm going to work through this pretty quick because I want to give some time just to respond. And again, if the Lord's speaking to you about something, listen to it. Don't shut it aside. But on the next slide, there's three things in this story that we learned that I want to point out. About, I just call them key ingredients of breakthrough. I couldn't think of anything cooler to call them. So, three steps, or three key ingredients, or whatever. But these lead to breakthrough. And so, as you think about the breakthrough that you desire to see in your life, I really believe that from this story, that we can learn how to experience an actual breakthrough. And so, in the story, we see that desperation leads to breakthrough, faith leads to breakthrough, and Jesus Christ is our breakthrough. And I'm going to focus on that last one in the end, because it's really important. Desperation and faith are really, really good things, and they can lead us to good experiences, that we can overcome things. But for a real breakthrough in our life, like deeper than just the healing, deeper than just like anxiety leaving or depression or you know, whatever it is we're praying for, like Jesus being our breakthrough, he's the one who's the author of our whole lives. Like he's your creator. So if you're going to find identity, it's in him. Sometimes the things that we're looking for God for breakthrough, so maybe you've been battling depression, or maybe you've got some severe pain in your leg, or something that you've been praying and asking God to, you know, for an answer for. But, like, if the pain went away or the depression went away, that doesn't always heal everything. Like, that might take things away temporarily, but a lot of times we find something else we're struggling with, some other challenge. And sometimes whatever it is we're struggling with, we think, oh, if that thing could just be taken away, if I could just get rid of that, it would fix everything. And then we get rid of that, and then we still have this longing, this emptiness. And so, and I'm going to focus on that more at the end, but Jesus, after he heals her, he calls her daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. And so what he was restoring was he was restoring her identity. So all of a sudden she was healed of this issue that she had where she was bleeding for years and years and years, and it was this really shameful issue in those days. But at a deeper level, Jesus was telling her who she is. You're my daughter. You're a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. And so just getting healed from the thing that you're looking for healing for from, it's usually only temporary. You know, that thing could resurface, it could come back, I don't know, but like, but to come to this revelation that like you are God's son or daughter brings healing that lasts for eternity. So when you do face something else, it doesn't shake your world, it doesn't make you panic, it doesn't make you go into fear and hysteria because you're like, he's mine, like, I'm his and he's mine. Right? There's this sense of peace that comes with it. So these are the three steps. The first one, desperation leads to breakthrough. This lady in the story was absolutely all out of options, and she was desperate. And I just want to, before we talk about desperation leading to breakthrough, I just want to point out there's a difference between desperation and hopelessness. So hopelessness is when you've got no hope. You're struggling with some issue, you're struggling with some difficulty, and you're like, there's just nothing can make this better. You don't even desire to live. You don't desire to continue existing because you've just completely given up hope. This lady wasn't hopeless, but she was desperate. And so everything in this world had failed her, which made her desperate because she was like, I don't know how to experience the breakthrough. I don't know how to experience the healing because everything had failed her, but she hadn't yet given up hope. She was desperate. And so I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you've given up hope, what I want to speak in your heart is don't give up hope. Like if you are breathing oxygen, there's hope. Like I learned that a long time ago, like, because there's a lot of times I've faced situations and dealing with people that like just seem like there was no hope. And I felt God whisper in my ear, like, if they're breathing, there's hope. Like if they're alive, there's hope. Like people get, like if we still have breath in our lungs, we can turn to God. And so I just want to encourage you to have hope. But desperation is actually a good thing. And so if you look at this story is told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's kind of interesting. So Luke, and if you're like a history buff, this might be interesting to you. If not, you'll be like, well, who cares? But if you read this story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Luke leaves out the fact that she had spent all her money paying doctors to fix her illness. Luke's a doctor. So the commentators I was reading were like, he probably didn't want his fellow doctor friends to be all mad at him to make the medical system look bad, right? Because when you read it in Luke, he doesn't say she had spent all her money. All he says is, she told Jesus the whole story, right? And so he was like, you know, didn't want to make his profession look bad because he was a doctor. But the truth is, she had spent all of her money on trying to recover from this illness. and the medical system had completely failed her. So she was failed by the medical system. She was failed by society, right? So in those days, if you had an issue of blood, you weren't even supposed to be out around people. It was similar to if you had the COVID virus, right? Like, don't go near people. You shouldn't be around them. And so basically isolate yourself and stay away, right? Don't come and affect people. So she was failed by medical system, she was failed by society, and she was failed by the church. Because in the church, there was really, really strict laws about who could come into the temple and worship. And if you had an issue of blood, you were not allowed to do that. And I was like preparing for this, and I wanted to just ask the question today for you to think about, reflect on, like, have you been failed by the church in some way? Have you been hurt by people in the church? Have you been failed by society in some way? Or by our government in some way? Have you felt forgotten? Have you felt like your issue is too different or too difficult and it can't be dealt with? I think a lot of us can relate with this lady who had been failed by everyone. And sometimes I think, and this may be true of you, may not be true of you, but sometimes I think we put a lot of stock, even in our government, as a society and as a culture, we put a lot of stock to, like, we hope that the government can fix all of our problems and fix all of our issues, and if they don't, we're really upset and we're really angry. And sometimes it leaves us feeling failed. It leaves us feeling alienated or like we don't matter. And I really believe that's what this lady was struggling with, but she hadn't given up hope because she heard about Jesus. She's like, if I could just get close to Jesus, he can do what no one else can. And that's the thing about the gospel, is that when we look to Jesus, he really can do what no one else can do. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're expecting, sometimes our expectations let us down. We put expectations in our church, we put expectations in certain people, or in government systems, and when that fails us or lets us down, we just get so discouraged. And I just want to encourage you, like, put your hope and your expectation in God. He never fails. He's always faithful. So she heard about Jesus, and she was like, if I could just get near him, it'll change things. And one of Jesus' teachings, I just want to read this verse. This is in a couple chapters later in Luke, when Jesus is teaching on prayer. And so, as an application to this, desperation leads to breakthrough. If you're like, okay, I need to get desperate about this area in my life that I'm praying for breakthrough in, this verse is what Jesus, this is how he tells us to pray. It's in Luke 11, verses 9 and 10. It says, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're praying for God for breakthrough, pray the way Jesus teaches us to pray. And as a confession, just to be vulnerable, when I read these words of Jesus in explanation of how to pray, I'm like, I don't do that as much as I should. There's a lot of times where I don't go to God, where I just get discouraged. Or, if we're honest, sometimes I think the reason we don't go to God in boldness is because we're afraid of being let down. But Jesus encourages us to have faith. He says, pray, like, don't stop asking, don't stop seeking, don't stop knocking. People that are persistent, they get the thing that they're desiring. That guy that I told the story about, his name was Frank Dickens. I really believe he was like this guy that, like, at this conference, that he was just like ready to push things a little bit further. And I believe he was experiencing God in a way that is unique, right? And I was like, man, I was inspired by his faith. And I'm like, God, I want to have that kind of faith so I experience your breakthrough. And so faith, the second step or key in this, is faith leads to breakthrough. And so faith. And whenever I talk about faith, like, the word that comes to mind, over the last couple of years, I've spent a lot of time thinking about faith. Faith is trust. Simply, it's the easiest definition of faith is that it's just simply trust. And if you really trust God, if you were broke and you were super close to, like, a multi-billionaire uncle, you'd probably go to that person and be like, I need help. I have a hard time feeding my kids, or I'm having a hard time, whatever, right? And oftentimes, like, we don't realize that we serve this creator of the universe who has every resource at his disposal, right? And so if we really trust him and we really believe that he's for us, that he loves us, we will go to him in our time of need. We'll go to him in the thing that we are desiring to see breakthrough in. Hebrews 11:1, it says that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we can't see. And so, and I just want to agree, like, that's a challenge for me. Like, faith is evidence of the things that we can't see. I have a friend that has a really severe drug addiction. And we've been friends for probably 10 or 12 years. And when I was younger, I used to lead like a summer outreach mission team. And this guy had given his heart to Jesus and was starting to do well. And he was traveling with us on this summer outreach team. And he, I forget exactly what happened, but there was some kind of conflict that came up between him and one of the other team members. And at this time, okay, so when this happened, you're gonna know this, we were like out in the sticks. There's this place called Canso, Nova Scotia. So if you're in Nova Scotia and you're going to Cape Breton, there's a Canso causeway, it's not that. Canso is like way out of the boondocks, in the sticks. Like there's almost nothing there, no one around. And this guy, he got into like an argument with somebody, and he started dealing with all this rage, all this stuff that he hadn't dealt with before. And he just started, like, he was enraged. I won't repeat what he said. But he left, he was like, I'm leaving. So he leaves, he was like, I'm just gonna walk back home. And we were like literally like hours and hours of a drive away from where his home was. And we're out in the middle of nowhere in the sticks, and it was a torrential, I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes when preachers tell stories, they're exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. It was a torrential downpour rainstorm. And I had these brand new Nike shoes that I really, really liked. And he's like, he's walking, and I was like, man, he's gonna die out on these streets. Like, there is nothing for miles and miles and miles. It was dark, it was pouring down rain. And so I just was like, I'm gonna go walk with him. And so we're walking, and he was like, punched himself in the head, and he was super angry, and super frustrated, and like, and I was like, I don't even know what to do. At one point, I was afraid he was gonna attack me, because it almost seemed like there was something demonic going on. He was just so angry. But I was like, I can't leave this guy. Like, I can't just let him walk off by himself into the night. I don't know what's gonna happen. So we walked for an hour or so, and he finally decided to turn around. My shoes were ruined. My favorite Nike shoes that were nice. But we're coming back, and him and I developed a really, really close friendship. And I saw that as this victory. I was like, man, God broke through in his life. And he started to do really well for a while. And then he went back pretty hard into the drug scene. And it was really tough. And then he ended up moving to the same place that I was in Grand Manan. He got a job there at Lobster Fishing. He was really, really good at it. And then his life started to come together. He married his younger, like the girl he'd kind of grown up with and had a crush on, his childhood sweetheart, or we call it. They had three kids together. He had a nice house and a vehicle. Everything was going well. And then the drug addiction got horrible. And today, he's still in a really, really tough spot. Makes me emotional thing about it. So he's somewhere out west on the streets, and my faith for him has been weak at times. Like, we've had a friendship for a really long time. I've seen extreme highs and I've seen extreme lows. And to be honest, I like stories where there's just this happy ending, where you tell a story and it's like, hey, everything's okay. Now they're a pastor, right? But this guy, I don't even know where he is. I know he's out west somewhere, and the last I heard, he's living on the street somewhere. And my whole, like for the past 10 years, God keeps challenging me with, what does it look like to have faith? Like, what does it look like to pray for somebody long term when you're not sure what the outcome will be? My kids, and it's been convicting, my kids know, and he came to live with my wife and I for a while, and sometimes when we're praying at night, my son Andrew will say, can we pray for this guy? And so we pray for him, and it's so convicting, because I'm like, I'm not even thinking about it sometimes. Like, sometimes I've just given up hope, like, it's like, well, where's my faith? I'm supposed to be a pastor, right? And I'm supposed to believe no matter what, right? But I'm human, and I realize that what we're talking about is a human wrestle. It's a human struggle to actually believe. And when I talk about these kinds of things, a lot of it is really, really personal. You know, a lot of it is God is asking us to take a stand on something that we don't see the end yet. But faith is having confidence in what we can't yet see. Like, we don't get to see the end for someone else. We don't get to see, you know, exactly how things are going to look. But all we know is that God is going to make everything right. And so I wanted to tell that story because I think sometimes the stories where there's a happy ending, it separates me from you as a speaker. It's like, oh, he gets to experience all these victories. And for me, it's more challenging. It's more hard. Like, sometimes we have things that we're facing that we just don't yet know the outcome. And the last thing, and this is really important. Jesus Christ, this will be up on the screen. Jesus Christ is our breakthrough.
And the reason this is so important, this lady, she broke through the crowd. Like, she was desperate, and she had faith. But she recognized that Jesus is her breakthrough. You can have faith in other things, and that can help you with motivation, and it can help you feel better. You can have desperation, and it can help you achieve things and achieve, you know, great success. But it doesn't lead anywhere. You know, and as I was thinking about how to word this, like, Jesus Christ is our breakthrough. He's the one who actually has the power to cause a breakthrough. There's a difference between a coping mechanism and the real deal. And so sometimes we settle for coping mechanisms. You know, if we're battling depression, and maybe we read a self-help book and it tells us we need to go and work out, and maybe working out makes us feel better, but it doesn't get to the core of what's really bothering us at a deeper level. We settle something, and those are good things, working out, eating right, all those things are good things, but sometimes we settle for coping mechanisms rather than pursuing the real thing. Jesus Christ is the real deal. If we're looking for breakthrough, if we're looking for lasting healing, if we're looking for things to change for eternity, it's Jesus. And that's why I pointed out earlier, when Jesus heals her, he looks at her and he says, daughter. Like, at a deep level, and I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm struggling with, like, areas where my faith feels weaker, I'm trying to believe for a situation that seems impossible, like, it makes me even question my identity with God. Like, does he even hear me? You know, is God hearing this prayer? Is he hearing the cry of my heart? I cry just like that. Is he hearing it? Right? And when I was reading how Jesus responds to this lady, he heals her. So all of a sudden, like, all the bleeding that would have been all, like, through her body and running down her body for years and years and years that she couldn't deal with and she was so ashamed of, and especially in those days where women were just, like, already shoved aside, let alone having an issue like blood. Like, women were not listened to, they weren't paid attention to, they were considered second class, plus she has this major, you know, infection that she couldn't get rid of, and so she feels so rejected by society. So Jesus heals the physical problem, but I believe he healed at a deeper level her heart, and he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Like, more than anything, isn't that what we desire? Is this, like, just to be known by God? Like, to know that where it is? Like, doesn't that solve? Like, I could face anything. You know, like, if I know that the creator of the universe is on my side, then I could be facing, you know, terminal illness, knowing that it's going to end, believing God for healing, but knowing that if the healing doesn't come, I'm okay, because I'm his. Like, isn't that, like, that's what the gospel is all about. Like, that's what when Jesus gives us the gospel, he says, go out and preach the good news. He tells his disciples to heal the sick. But he was saying, like, don't just rejoice when the sick person is healed or when a demon is cast out. Like, rejoice when your name is written in heaven. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Like, rejoice that you belong to God. Like, when we receive Christ, we ask Jesus into our life and say, Lord, I've sinned, I've forgiven, and I believe that what you did on the cross was for me. He comes in, he makes his home in our heart, and we become his. You can face anything after that. All those people that Jesus healed, like, they're dead now. This is 2,000 years later. Like, some of them probably got diseases again. Some of them were, whatever, hit, there wasn't cars back then, they were hit by a horse-drawn carriage or something. I don't know. But, like, they all aren't alive today. They all face hardship after the healing, right? So the healing was just temporary. And sometimes I really believe that we spend our time a lot of time looking for some kind of a temporary fix, a temporary healing, when really God wants to heal at the core of who we are, our hearts. You know, I believe that's why we go from relationship to relationship to relationship. We're looking for just that feeling of being loved. Or we chase after the next high because we just want to escape and we want to feel better. Or we chase after success because we want to feel important. We want people to look at us and say, oh, he or she's valued because of what they do. And God is saying, like, no, I want to heal you at a deeper level. You know, I want to answer your prayer, but at a deeper core level, I want you to know that you're mine. That's the desire of God's heart, is that we would know that we belong to him. So I want to give an opportunity for us, and I say all that to say, maybe you listen to that and you think, well, should I even pray for the thing that I want breakthrough in? Yeah. Yes. Jesus says to do that. And so, but I just, at a deeper level, the bigger miracle is you coming to know Jesus. Like, the bigger miracle is you surrendering your life to him. Before we respond, I want to read this verse to you. I'm going to invite the team to come back up. In Psalm 51, verse 17, David says, "You will not reject a broken and repentant heart,
The sacrifice, oh, mine's a little different. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. He will not reject a broken and repentant heart, oh God. And I think I'd be missing something if I didn't give an opportunity today. If there's someone here that hasn't surrendered your life to Christ, this would be a good opportunity to do that. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know, the things that I'm chasing are just temporary, but it doesn't fix the longing of my heart, I want to encourage you in this response time, if you want to come up and, like David says, God will not reject a broken and repentant heart. And what that means is just coming to God and confessing, Lord, I've messed up. I've chased after things that are not what you want me to chase after. I've given in to sin. I've given in to things that are wrong. And I receive your forgiveness. Right? That's what it means to be a Christian, is to just confess our sin and receive Christ. And so if that's you today, I encourage you to respond. But I also, these little cards here, they're just our logo on the front, but on the back there's a bunch of open space. And I want to encourage you, we're going to play three songs. And if there's something that maybe you've given up on, that you're praying for, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith, come grab a card, and write down what that is that you're believing God for. And so it could be prayer for physical healing, like this woman was praying for. It could be prayer for, maybe you've battled anxiety for as long as you can remember. And you're like, God, I just want to have this assurance in my heart that I'm okay. And or maybe it's depression. Or maybe there's a couple things. Maybe you've got somebody in your life, like the story that I told, somebody that the end is still a little bit unclear to you, and you're tempted to give up hope. You're tempted to stop believing. Maybe you're supposed to just write that name down and say, God, I will not stop having faith. I will not stop praying. I will not stop believing you. And at a deeper level, I just want to encourage you. God loves you. Like just like Jesus said to that woman, in my mind, when I picture this scene happening, I picture her pouring out her heart and telling all these things to Jesus. You know, I spent all my money on all these doctors. I'm not allowed to the temple. I'm not allowed around people. I shouldn't even be here today. Imagine how much fear that lady had. She's like quivering because she knows that she could be rejected by the religious leaders for even being in a crowd of people with the issue that she had. And she's saying all these things in front of a whole crowd. She's probably, when I read the story, I think she's probably a very introverted person who felt like really put on the spot. She had to spill her whole life story to a whole crowd of people that are gawking. Some of them are judging. And then Jesus just reaches out. In my mind, it doesn't say he touched her, but I just imagine him putting his hand on her shoulder and saying, daughter, your faith has healed you. And all of a sudden, like at a deeper level, she knows she's loved by God. And it healed more than just the issue that she was facing. It healed her heart. And she was just confident that she'd be with him. And so I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I'll just stand together. And if you feel to pray from your seat, pray from your seat. But if you do feel like you want to come up and write something down, I encourage you to take that step. There's nothing magic about coming to the altar. But what it does is it's like we're responding to what God's speaking to us. So we're actually taking a step. Instead of it all just being up here, it's like it's almost like an accountability for us, right? We can look back and say, no, Lord, I took a step of faith on March 15th, and this is written down, and I'm believing you for it. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. God, I want to thank you for how your word actually speaks into our situations right now. Some of us that are in this room are struggling with some things in our lives, just like this woman was, who had struggled for 12 years. But Jesus, her hope was in you. Lord, she was desperate, she had faith, but she realized that, Jesus, you were the breakthrough. And I pray today that we realize that same thing, Lord, that you develop in us a desperation, you develop faith, but Lord, that we would also realize that you are the only one that can give us lasting, eternal breakthrough. And so we look to you, God. We love you. You're awesome. We just want to continue to walk in your presence. And so as we spend these last three songs just praying, I pray today that people would walk out of here knowing that you've heard them. I pray that you heal areas of their life that we're seeking you for. And we just welcome you here, God. We love you. In Jesus' name.